Ralph Sackman once said, "Let us not bankrupt our todays by paying interest on the regrets of yesterday and by borrowing in advance the troubles of tomorrow." Keep this in mind as we discuss today the economic crisis and bankruptcy in Sri Lanka, and what does it mean within the context of the global economy. My name is Dr. David Waralu.
And my name is Dr. Ross Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict.
As the economic meltdown continues to worsen in Sri Lanka,
the country is in the grip of a massive political and economic crisis.
The military entered the protest site by force. They tore down the camp. More than 50 people were hurt. What happens to the plans of reviving the economy?
How ethical is it for someone like him to be the head of a state?
The Sri Lankans don't have high expectations this time.
David, we're watching a tragedy occur in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is an island just south of India.
Mm-hmm.
And $50 billion that they cannot even pay the interest on. Hunger, and inability to bring in fuel, inability to bring in food. This is a real tragedy, and the people are more than upset about it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they had the demonstrations 2 days ago or 3 days ago, whenever that was, and they stormed the presidential palace. They took over. As a matter of fact, their president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, I hope I pronounce it correctly, has fled. He is now in Singapore, from where he sent an email of his resignation. That's how cowardly it was. I believe that if he sort of wasted the money of the country, he needs to be brought back for trial and stand trial, because that's justice, in my opinion, and I speak for myself here. But the idea of why the country went bankrupt, we shouldn't think only in terms of just Sri Lanka.
Right.
It is much bigger picture into that than meet the eye.
How many countries are in this kind of a debt situation?
Oh, there are about 54, Ross, which tells you right there about the conditions of the global economy. You know? Of course, in the case of Sri Lanka, this has been brewing for over a few years. This is not new. It didn't happen overnight. But what made it worse is when the government decided to cut off the fuels only for essential vehicles. What do you expect? People are going to have to react. And that's exactly what they did. I found them very courageous, the Sri Lankan people, to take that bold step to the point of demanding a change, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, an interesting aside here is that so much of the news media put this out as debt trap.
Yeah, that's nonsense, because if we find out who the creditors, and we're going to break that down when we get to the whiteboard, but just to give you an idea, you know, I'm going to share a few of the creditors, and it will shock you and surprise you. We have BlackRock. That's one, you know, whoever thought, okay? You got Ashmore Group along with Fidelity, which is, those are insurance and investments groups here in the U.S. We got T. Rowe Price, and you got TIAA are among Sri Lanka's main creditors of over $1 billion. That's how much they owe. So basically, the case of Sri Lanka now, they don't have any reserves. There's nothing in the reserves. So they can't pay their debts. And this is where it's going to be very tricky for them moving forward, because now geopolitical competition among major powers is going to be displayed in Sri Lanka.
You know, interestingly enough, China's getting a bum rap on this. And they only have 10% of that $50 billion. Oh. And theirs all went into infrastructure.
Yeah. So is also Japan has 10%. So is also the Asian Development Bank. It has also the percentage for that. As a matter of fact, the Asian Development Bank has about 13%. And we will provide you a link to all those stats where we get them from. I always find it ironic that what's been reported versus what it is are always two opposite ends. And this is where we come in into providing accurate information to the best of our abilities we check and double check the accuracy of that information before we share it with you.
So. You know, since we've been doing this show, I can't tell you how many people have said, where do I go to get good information? I can't believe any source. And of course, I give them us. I give them a couple of other sources that I find quite believable. It's out there if you're looking.
Indeed. Well, let me go to the whiteboard and break it down for you guys to have an understanding of where this is headed. Okay. Well, as Ross and I, we were discussing earlier, the idea of how the Sri Lanka crisis came about, we can't think of it just from an economic perspective because there is also geopolitics involved. And this is why, geopolitically speaking, when decisions are made, they trickle down to the average Joe, average Jane. And this is exactly what happened in Sri Lanka. Of course, there is a history of debt in Sri Lanka. It's because, remember, this is why we are talking about neocolonialism. When major powers, when you usually take over the resources of the developing country or emerging country, whatever you want to call it, like in the case of Sri Lanka. And this is where that idea of the geopolitical rivalry comes in. But to put all this in perspective, you need to understand, for example, how this all came about. Well, for the president, or the, shall we say, the former president of Sri Lanka, who is now, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, is in Singapore. And how cowardly of him to be sending an email resignation. You know, in my opinion, and I'm not a Sri Lankan individual, so I'm not judging anybody, but he needs to be brought back to the country and stand trial for the misuse of the funds of the country. But that's their country. They can decide whatever they want. But for us to understand all this, to put it in perspective, because this is the most complicated economic crisis that the country has even faced in the last 70 years. But who is involved into all this debt spiraling cycle, shall we say? You know, you don't be surprised that if I am to tell you there are foreign investment companies, like, for example, BlackRock, they're involved, like T. Rowe Price, like Fidelity, like TIAA, all of them, they owe about $1 billion of the Sri Lankan debt. Well, its debt is almost, as Ross mentioned earlier, was about between $45 and $50 billion. So out of all that, you know, there are the $15 billion in bond. Okay? And here's where the problem as to why Sri Lanka filed for the bankruptcy. Because they don't have any reserves left to service their debt. And basically how much they need? They need between $7 and $8 billion to service their debt this year, which means by the end of 2022. So, what do you think this means? You know what it means? It means now you're going to have geopolitical competition among major powers as to who's going to be now getting into Sri Lanka. India already did by extending a loan of $1 billion. In return, Indian companies will have to take over the assets of whatever they're going to invest the money in. We shouldn't be looking at it like, oh, they are colonizing. No. It's a strategic decision. Most countries do that. So, and this is what brings me back to the idea of thinking in terms of who owns the debts in Sri Lanka. Well, you get, for example, the ADB, Asian Development Bank. That one owes about 13% of Sri Lanka's debt. Okay? You have also China with about 10%. Most of it is in infrastructure. Because remember, and I'll tell you one thing very important towards the end. Okay? Then you have Japan. Yes, Japan has about 10% of that Sri Lankan debt. So it tells you right there, it shows you that the competition, it's going to be among major powers, you know. Now, here's the thing that I want to share with you that has not been disclosed in the Western media, is that the United States is going to be building a naval military base around that country with access to the Indian Ocean. So you can just see, the question becomes, was this crisis planned, So you're smart enough to know. You know, I'm just providing you the question itself. This is the idea of understanding why the Sri Lankan crisis, it goes beyond Sri Lanka. When considering, okay, there are 54 countries. 54 countries are heading towards that crisis. So you can just see where this is headed. And especially for us here in the United States, with the amount of debt we have, we need to be very careful.
As David and I were discussing earlier, and as David so clearly pointed out on the whiteboard, Sri Lanka is the quintessential example of what can go wrong. Debt crisis, major. They owed all this money, irresponsibly borrowed it, and now there's a severe consequence that the leaders aren't paying. The people are paying. They don't have enough food. They don't have enough energy. They've taken to the streets and they've taken to violence. Now, Sri Lanka's a far distance from us, and it couldn't possibly happen here, could it? Oh, well, if inflation continues to spiral out of control in the United States, what does it mean on the government's ability to pay the service on the $30 trillion in debt that we owe? What would it mean to your company? Would you still have a job? What would it mean to your investments? What would it mean to your family? So lessons to be learned from Sri Lanka. It's far away geographically, but is this really so far away in terms of the debt crisis that so many places in the world are now experiencing? In order to take care of your family, your business, your investments, do you have a plan? If you don't have a plan, it's time to develop one. Do you have a strategy? If no, it's time to develop one of those as well. And a support community of smart people to help you figure out what to do next, and a whole lot more. Now is the time if you don't already have one. You know, as you so clearly pointed out on the whiteboard, spiraling debt led to the downfall of the entire economy. And you think, well, you know, Sri Lanka, that's a far distant way from where we are. Or is it with U.S. spiraling debt?
Exactly, because we are in no different except our setting is different than the one in Sri Lanka because we are, you know, a rich nation and so forth. But I am sure you are aware of the massive debt we carry, over $30 trillion in national debt, and that debt will have to be repaid somehow. And it becomes a question of geopolitical decisions impacting the average Joe, average Jane.
And the answer is
yes.
Yes.
We are seeing this example in Sri Lanka. We are now witnessing that in Europe. And I won't be surprised, it might even be here in the United States. Let's hope it doesn't happen, but it's the reality.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you next time. As always, stay informed. Till next time. Bye-bye.